May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think the two questions that get Christians in the most trouble are real simple. One word questions. Why and how? That's why I love those two verses. I think I quoted them the other day from 1 Thessalonians 5 and the other one from Ephesians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we're to give thanks in all things. But Ephesians 5:20 says that we're to give thanks for all things. The reason I wanted Bracken to read that particular story is because when the angel Gabriel came and made this announcement to Mary, Mary was, I don't know for sure, she was somewhere between 15, 17 years old probably, somewhere in her neighborhood. And she had been contracted since a child to marry Joseph. And now every Jewish child, especially of the tribe of Judah, female hoped that somehow they would participate in the coming of the Messiah. But I'm not sure they understood how that's all going to happen. So it's not like there was any example of the cousin down the road who'd gotten pregnant before by the Holy Spirit that she could draw from. No paperbacks had been put out on it, and 10 steps on how to get impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So when the angel comes along and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, she doesn't ask why, which is encouraging to me because she was smart enough to know, and we know from Scripture, until an angel came and explained it to Joseph, she would be totally misunderstood. Not a person would believe that she would be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That most people would, and most people did through all of her life, just simply believe that she had been an immoral young girl. And when Joseph first discovered that she was pregnant, he knew the law was that she was to be stoned to death, but he didn't want to do that, so he was just going to secretly have her put away because he didn't believe the story either. And he probably knew her better than anybody. Who would believe such a story? And so when the Lord said, "Hail, favored one," sometimes that doesn't always mean what you think it means. And what seemed like favor, and of course it was amazing favor, but the immediate consequences were very difficult. Reputation gone. She didn't know what Joseph would do. Future gone. Every dream gone. Everything ever planned gone. What everybody thought about you gone. But she didn't ask why, which is a question that a lot of us ask a lot of times. And stuff goes on in our lives that we don't understand, that don't feel good, that are difficult, that are hard, that seem to be contradictory to the promises God's given us. Things don't seem to be working out very well, like Joseph in the Old Testament. God gives you a dream that you're going to reign, you end up in a pit. But she didn't ask why. I mean, she was really yielded to the will of God. She was prepared for all that stuff to happen. But the question that she did ask was another snare, and the question was simply, how? Because I'm a virgin, and this doesn't make any sense. And so the angel just said, look, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And therefore, that which comes forth from you is going to be called the Son of God. It's going to be something God does. Therefore, God's name is going to be on it. And then he says, for nothing God says is impossible to him. And her final response was, okay, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Now, in a way, I know what the angel said when she said, how? The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. I don't know. I doubt if she understood. I mean, I think she understood he was saying God's going to do something, but she certainly didn't get any details. You know, there wasn't any kind of biological sketch or reproductive conversation that would make her feel comfortable in mind. But all she heard was God's going to do something. Holy Spirit's a person going to come upon you and release the power of the Most High. And her final response was, okay, behold the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. In other words, I don't really know how you're going to do this, but what I do understand is it's not about who, and I wasn't asking why. I mean, it's not about how, and I wasn't asking why. It's really only about who. That's all that matters. And you don't have to explain yourself to me. I don't know how. Though you told me how, it still doesn't make sense. I mean, there are a lot of times in my life when the Lord says, I got this, I'm going, okay, how? Because I can't see anything that looks like you got it, that is working out, or you're asking why. You see, when stuff comes in your life, our first response should be not why, but who, and the who's not the devil. Giving thanks for all things. Doesn't mean the devil's not involved, but there's still someone who rules and reigns, and it's not the devil, and they're not co-equals. That may not be something that you understand or I understand theologically, but it really is okay for us not to understand everything about the ways of God, right? I just know he's really good, even if I can't explain it to people. I don't have to make up things or change theology so it'll look good, so God will look good. He's just good, no matter how bad it might look, and he's really big. And so my first response should never be why. It should be who. Lord, you're in charge of my life. And then the second thing, as I walk it out, can't be how. How. But I don't know how. And if I don't know how, I can't believe. It starts with the who. It continues with the who. I'm in this because of a who. And that who's big and he's really good. And it may involve warfare against the devil, but he's still the who's in charge of my life. He orders my steps. I'm in Christ. It's his story, not the devil's story. He's the one who was and who is and who is to come. It's not the devil's story. It's God's story. That's this charismatic nonsense. And it's caused more damage and pain to people. But he's also the who in the how. The bottom line is, I don't know how this is going to work, Lord, but all I know is this is just another one of the all things that you're big enough for. And you don't have to explain the plan. You don't owe me an explanation of why you let it happen and how you're going to do it. I just need to keep an attitude before me that says, Lord, you said it. Behold the bondservant of the Lord. Now you do it. That's basically what Mary did. And what happened was miraculous. That's why when you keep reading down and Elizabeth honors her, she says, and blessed is she who believed that what the Lord said to her would be done. See, the blessing came because she believed, not because she heard, but because she believed. But her belief didn't involve explanation. It wasn't about why, and it wasn't about how. It's always about who. You're in Christ. And if he's telling your story, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how much the enemy's involved, it's still his story. He's telling it. There's a who that's in charge, and he knows what he's doing. And then every step of the way as you walk through it, it's still the who. There may be some times, again, when you're in the middle of it, you go, God, I don't know how in the world you're going to do this, but it's you. Thank you. I'm going to give you thanks in all things. I'm going to give you thanks for the all thing, and then as we're walking through it, I'm going to give you thanks in all things. That's the simplest thing I know, but it's the most important thing I've ever learned. Because that's how you manifest supernatural living. Because Christianity is a person. Not a bunch of principles. It's a person who has principle, but it's a person. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.